Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. The Kingston Climate Justice Coalition, a newly formed group made up of various environmental advocacy organizations in the city, will be launching with a Kingston Climate Action Town Hall on Saturday, September 28th. Also known as KCJC, the group's founding members include 350 Kingston, Just Futures Kingston, No Clear Cuts Kingston, OPERG, Queen's Backing Action on the Climate Crisis, Providence Center, Yellow Bike Action, and Seniors for Climate Action Now. These organizations all came together with the goal of building a more coherent strategy to advocate for climate justice. The town hall event is also the unveiling of the group's first Kingston City Council report card, a document which will cover the successes and shortcomings of the city in terms of climate justice. I sat down with Eric McBay, lead on climate justice at Providence Center and founding member of KCJC, to talk about the formation of the coalition, the town hall this weekend, and the Kingston City Council report card. The Kingston Climate Justice Coalition is a relatively new group, if I'm not mistaken. What's the story there? Who's involved, and how did it all come together?
Yeah, the Kingston Climate Justice Coalition is new. And so it really emerged out of some discussions earlier this year around advocacy on climate issues to Kingston City Council. As you may know, Kingston's climate leadership plan calls for both the municipality and the community at large to be carbon neutral by the year 2040. But there have been a number of delays on important actions to make that happen. And one of the things we heard at a council meeting in January was a councilor who said, well, you know, Kingston's already doing as much as it can on climate change. Unfortunately, that's just not true. Kingston is doing some promising things, but there are also a lot of things it's committed to doing that it hasn't done yet. And so because of those events, a number of different groups in our area decided, okay, we really need to come together to kind of build a more coherent strategy so that we can do more advocacy and education work, both of, councillors and the community at large. And so we have a number of different members, including 350 Kingston, Just Futures Kingston, National Farmers Union, Local 316, No Clear Cuts Kingston, OPERG, Queen's Backing Action on the Climate Crisis, and Seniors for Climate Action Now. And so it's been a very exciting, I think, and productive time for all of these groups to get together and talk about our common issues. Our common concerns, and more importantly, the actions that we want to see happen in Kingston, both from the municipality and I think from the community at large. And so this Saturday, the 28th, September 28th, is kind of our big launch for the Kingston Climate Justice Coalition. It's going to be our chance to introduce everyone to what this new coalition is doing, but also to share a report card on the state of climate action in Kingston.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for that background. And we'll get into the City Council report card, which I believe is a big piece of this event. But before that, we've seen rallies, protests, celebrations, galas hosted by our community climate action groups. What was the decision-making process behind making this a town hall event?
So we really wanted it to be as participatory and as inclusive as possible. Mm-hmm. I think for me, one of the most important things that I see in organizing around climate justice is that it affects every single part of our lives, right? It affects the kind of food that we can eat and where it comes from. It affects the cost of living. Increasingly, it affects immigration and refugees. The United Nations predicts that by the year 2050, there will be more than 1.2 billion people displaced by climate change. And so it's a very urgent problem that affects everyone, but it also affects everyone in different ways, right? And that's one of the reasons that we wanted to identify climate justice as a priority and not just climate change in general or or climate action. It's important to recognize that, you know, people who have a lot of power or wealth or privilege, they're affected by climate change in different ways than people who have less kind of status. One of the issues that we care about, for example, is adequate temperatures in residences and rental units. So many people who are in rental units don't have enough insulation. They don't have enough, they don't have air conditioning. And so during heat waves, they might be at risk of heat problems, especially people who are senior citizens. And so the reason we wanted to have this climate town hall was to really give a chance to represent the different overlapping issues that groups have, but also for people to come and share their own concerns and share their own visions for what Kingston could look like in 2040 and beyond.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. And introducing the Kingston City Council report card, I was wondering if you could speak to the reasoning behind this document. I know our Chamber of Commerce did a similar thing last year. Is it going to look like that? What's this document going to look like and provide for our community?
Yeah, so we are going to unveil this document on Saturday, but I will say that this report card is really the result of doing a lot of work with the nonprofit organizations, with members of the coalition, with independent experts to analyze the city of Kingston's track record of action and inaction on the climate crisis. And so the report itself is broken down into different categories like climate targets and accountability, transportation, vulnerable peoples, the built environment. And we've identified where Kingston's making progress, but also where it's fallen short of some of its commitments in the scientific consensus on action. So the report card is very concise, and it identifies really a very brief summary of the status in each of these areas and some of the actions that we want to see for the city to maybe get a better grade, for example. And so we've identified areas where the city is very promising, but also some areas where its actions are inadequate or even harmful. And so we wanted to use the report card approach because climate change is such a complicated and multifaceted issue, right? It's really easy to get lost in the weeds or for people to get confused by all of the different kinds of action, by different regulations, by different organizations and bureaucracies that are at play. And so we wanted to really summarize in a concise way that people could see at a glance the status of climate action in terms of the municipality, in terms of the city of Kingston's actions. And the intent is that this is going to be the first annual report, that this will be an ongoing kind of report card. And it will hopefully offer some guidance for people in the community, but also for city council and staff to prioritize some action that that is urgent, I think, at this point in history.
Awesome. Yeah. And you got into this a bit in that answer there. I imagine you're keeping a lot of your findings under wraps as you prepare to present on Saturday. But what can you tell us right now as we approach the event about what Kingstonians will be able to take away from this new report?
I think that people will be able to take away a few different things. Mm-hmm. On one hand, you know, there are areas where I think Kingston is doing a legitimately good job. And I think it's worth celebrating. And I mean, there are a lot of people working very hard on climate change, both in the kind of city organization within the city structure and people like climate champions and community groups. I also think there's some really important areas where the city is falling behind. And, you know, we live at a very critical moment in history where we, the decisions that we make in the next few years, in the next few decades, will actually shape the lives and experiences and well-being of people, not just in Kingston, not just in Canada, but all around the world for decades or even centuries. And so it's really important, I think, to speak honestly and identify places that that we can do better as a community and that the city can do better in order to maximize the health and well-being and safety of people here and around the world. I think another thing that people might take away is that, you know, we really already have most of the technologies that we need to address climate change. sometimes there's this idea that, oh, you know, that we need to wait for some kind of hypothetical breakthrough, or we need fusion power or something. And that's really not the case. We already have most of the technologies that we need to adjust to address the climate crisis. It's just a matter of putting into place those actions in a timely way. And lastly, I hope that people will take away is a feeling of possibility and a desire to participate more. So we have some presentations. We have some excellent speakers. So Kyla Tienhara, who's a professor at Queen's University, the chair, Canada Research Chair in Economy and Environment, is going to be speaking. Christine Sipnowich, the co-chair of the Coalition of Kingston Communities, is going to be speaking. There will be people speaking about, really, in a constructive way, the kinds of actions that we can take to move forward. But we're also going to set aside a bunch of time, about the last hour or so, is really going to be small group discussions about these themed areas, facilitated by experts in those areas. So we're going to be inviting people to talk about what they would envision Kingston looking like in 2040, the things that they want to see happen, and the things that they want to participate in. So, you know, this is really a constructive way of moving forward and prioritizing action. And so ultimately, I want to see people coming away from the town hall with a sense of hope for the change that is possible to make in our community.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you mentioned you foresee this being an annual report.
Yeah, I expect this will continue for some time. I think that it's really critical to have to have an organization like the Kingston Climate Justice Coalition. And it's important to, to give feedback, and whether that's recognizing good work or highlighting areas where maybe there's some improvements that need to happen. Climate change is not going to be solved overnight, and it's not even going to be solved in 1 or 2 years. It is something that's going to take many years to solve. And I think an organization like the Kingston Climate Justice Coalition has a really important role in kind of elevating community voices, but also being an independent third party, right? I think that when the city releases a budget report, that's reviewed by third party auditors who make sure that everything is correct and clear. We don't have a mechanism for doing that for climate action or for carbon budgeting. But I think we really need something like that. And I think it's very important to have independent kind of third-party organizations that are accountable to the grassroots, accountable to the community, that can speak to the issues of great importance for people in Kingston and in the entire world.
Once again, that was Eric McBay, lead of climate justice at Providence Center, on the upcoming town hall this weekend, hosted by the Kingston Climate Justice Coalition. To learn more about the coalition and the Kingston Climate Action Town Hall taking place at City Hall on Saturday, you can search Kingston Climate Justice Coalition or visit their page on Eventbrite. This has been Christina Laurie, Local Journalism Initiative reporter with CFRC News.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report. Richardson Memorial Stadium played host to a national top 10 battle between the Guelph Griffins and your Queens Gaels. After trading two and outs, it would be the Gaels that scored first about 6 minutes into the first quarter, as Alex Reakin connected with Nathan Falcone on this play.
It is a 0-0 ball game here, but the Gaels are moving. Jerick Asari is moving in motion, but staying into pass block. Reakin is going to find Nathan Falcone. Falcone cuts it away!
There we go!
And Falcone takes it in. Queens is on the board. Nathan Falcone, who has been so reliable for this offense. Catching, cutting, running, scoring. What more could you ask for? Number 16, have yourself a day. His first catch.
Guelph would respond the next drive with a 90-yard touchdown run from Donovan Malloy. We would see back-and-forth action throughout the second quarter. Anthony Leo would score on a 2-yard quarterback sneak to put the Gaels up 14-7. Guelph would kick a 30-yard field goal to make it a 14-10 game. And then shortly before the half, Nathan Falcone, with a highlight reel play, gives the Gaels a 21-10 lead.
It is first and 10 from the Guelph 41. Vreakin is back to pass.
Cody! One-handed catch! Touchdown!
Like Randy Moss with Darrell Revis, Nathan Falcone finds himself on the highlight tape, the human highlight reel, with his second touchdown of the first half. He did what?
Queens would lead 21-11 at half. The third quarter was a defensive stalemate. The only points on the board were put up by Queens' Tyler Mullen, a 23-yard field goal to make it a 24-11 ball game. Guelph would score a late touchdown, Vishon Janusis taking it 33 yards after receiving a short pass from Tristan Aboud, and it became a 6-point ball game for the final few minutes. After stonewalling the Queens' offense, the Griffins would get the ball back, down by 6 with about a minute to go. It was 3rd and 10. Guelph needed a conversion to keep the game alive. And this is what happened next.
The Gaels, 3rd and 10, 39 seconds to go. A stop will send Guelph home, and we're gonna see Tristan Aboud still stay on his feet! Second effort,
one.
He is still running, and this is where it gets dangerous.
Justin Pace with the pick! Let's go, Pace!
There he is!
The day.
You Justin can count on Pace! We saw it against Mac, and we saw it with Guelph when his team needs him. Number 44 calls game.
For the second time this season, Justin Pace comes through in the clutch with a late turnover to seal a win for the Gaels. With the victory over Guelph, Queens moves to 4-1 on the season, all but guaranteeing them at least one home playoff game. However, the Gaels have a very difficult schedule ahead, starting next Saturday, September 28th, against the Western Mustangs in London. CFRC will, of course, be at the game. Tune in at 12:45 p.m. for the Something in the Water pregame show ahead of the 1 p.m. kickoff.
Now for your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight we're expecting cloudy skies with a 60% chance of showers early this evening. We have a risk of thunderstorm this evening and overnight. Winds will be 30 kilometers per hour and we have a low of 17 degrees. Looking forward to tomorrow, Thursday, September 26th. We have showers ending early in the morning, then a mix of sun and cloud with a 40% chance of showers. We have a risk of thunderstorm in the morning. We have a high of 22 degrees with humidex that's going to feel like 25, and we have a UV index of 5 or moderate. Tomorrow night we'll have clear skies with a low of 11. On Friday, September 27th, finishing off the work week, we'll have sunny skies with a high of 21 and cloudy skies at night with a low of 12. That wraps up your weather report for this evening, and next up is your CFRC weekly traffic report. This is Christina coming in with your CFRC weekly traffic report. Pavement rehabilitations will be taking place along Highway 401 between Westbrook Road to beyond the Highway 15 overpass and on the Sir John A. McDonald overpass. This work will consist of various lane and ramp closures over the next several months. To look out for this week, Highway 401 westbound at Highway 15, full mainline closure September 25th and 26th from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. Gardner's Road, Sydenham Road, Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard, Division Street, Montreal Street, various ramp closures, September 25th and September 26th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is still fully closed to motorist, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. In road closures to look out for, Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert, closed until December 31st to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. For project details, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th, closed until October 31st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. Kings Court Avenue, Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick, closed until November 15th to accommodate a water main replacement. King Street, Gore to Lower Union, closed until October 4th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day to repair a water service. King Street, Plast Arms to North End of King, closed until September 30th for the construction of new storm and roadbed. The road will be open to local traffic. Queen Queen Street, send him to Montreal, closed September 26th from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. for the dismantling of a tower crane. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, closed until September 27th for downtown Kingston BIA activations. Union Street, Willington to Albert, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. For project details, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. University Avenue, Union to Earl, closed for JDOT-related construction activities. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Restoration Project is underway. The work is planned to conclude in late December 2024. The work will be completed in phases to allow the building to remain open to public parking for the duration of the project. It is anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. In other delays, Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl. Expect delays and closures along Aberdeen Street for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd. Expect delays while a contractor begins phase two of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles to Edwin and Princess. Expect delays while a contractor completes phase two of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. For project details, please visit Get Involved Kingston. That wraps up your traffic report for this evening, and next up is your concerts and events calendar. Now for your CFRC concerts and events calendar for this week. Starting off with concerts on Wednesday, September 25th, Queen's students are invited to the Ale House for the TD Student Music Festival featuring Walk Off the Earth and The Free Label starting at 6:45 p.m. Also on Wednesday, $5 dates will perform live covers of Blue Rodeo, Neil Young, Mumford & Sons, and more at Spearhead Brewery starting at 7 p.m. On Thursday, September 26th, you can catch Canadian singer-songwriter Jerry Ledger for free at Hotel Wolvieland starting at 8 p.m. Also on Thursday, The Fixer and Stunseed will perform at the Overtime Sports Bar starting at 8 p.m. Admission is $10. On Friday, September 27th, you can also join the Happy Hour TGIF at the RCHA, featuring a performance by the Smoke and Roosters, a free event starting at 4 p.m. Then later that evening, check out Pat Temple and the Hi-Lo Players at RCHA for $20. The show starts at 8 p.m. Also on Friday, visit the Cove Inn and see Tony Silvestri play lots of classics starting at 5 p.m. Admission is by donation. On Friday night, you can also join CFRC's own John McClurge taking the stage for a free show at the Toucan with some bluegrass, folk, and gospel ditties starting at 5 p.m. Later that night, Ottawa folk rock artist Graven with special guests will also play for free at the Toucan starting at 10:30. Saturday, September 28th, you can go see Virginia to Vegas with Alex Porat at the Broom Factory. This KPP Concerts event starts at 7:30 and admission is $25. Also on Saturday, The Mansion is hosting a Def Leppard tribute band called Hysteria, who will play a free show starting at 9 p.m. Sweet Pete and The Heat will also be taking the stage for free at the Toucan on Saturday night starting at 10:30. On Sunday, September 29th, you can enjoy music from Casablanca, Robin Hood, Sunset Boulevard, Singin' in the Rain, and more during the Golden Age of Hollywood concert at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts. Tickets start at $20 and the show starts at 2:30 p.m. Also on Sunday, Frank Ryan will play a range of covers and originals at Spearhead Brewery starting at 2 p.m. And later that night, head over to the Toucan, take the stage yourself, and join in the fun at Karaoke Night with Jeremy Green starting at 10:30 p.m. Have a concert you would like to add to our online and on-air calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca. Now for your CFRC events calendar for this week. On Wednesday, September 25th, Something in the Water and Daft Brewing will be hosting their trivia night starting at 7 p.m., and One-Eyed Jacks will host their North End Board Games Night for free, also starting at 7. On Thursday, September 26th, Kingston Community Health Centers will host a seniors exercise class from 11 a.m. till noon. Refreshments will be served. Also on Thursday, Norman Musangimana of KEDCO will deliver a workshop entitled Exploring Entrepreneurship at the Central Branch of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library. Also on Thursday, head over with your runners to Runner's Choice for the weekly Out in Front running group. For 2S LGBTQ+ runners ready to run at 6:15 p.m. for 5 to 6 kilometers, followed by a post-run social. As well on Thursday, from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m., Immigrant Services Kingston and Area is hosting an intermediate English circle for English speakers levels 3 to 5 seeking to enhance fluency and vocabulary. On Friday, September 27th, the YMCA will host its Fresh Food Pop-Up Market featuring healthy food options that won't break the bank. Also on Friday, Pumpkin Inferno at Kingston Penn launches, running various days from the end of September through to October 30th. Check out amazing hand-carved pumpkin exhibits with the family. Admission is $16 to $21. On Saturday, September 28th, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Saturday, Riverhead Brewing is hosting early Oktoberfest activities for free, featuring German-inspired food, drink, games, and music. The fun starts at 12 p.m. Folks can also check out the free Scarecrow Festival hosted by Kingston Community Health Centers at 263 Weller Avenue from 12 to 3 p.m. Sunday, September 29th, get up early and head over to Runner's Choice for an early morning long run starting at 8:30 a.m. Folks and families can also head over to Fort Henry on Sunday and multiple dates through the end of October for Fort Fright to check out the ghouls and goblins, special effects and sound, and amazing actors starting at 7:15 to 11 p.m. Admission is $25. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 2 p.m. featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca. And don't forget to follow CFRC on Instagram at cfrcmusic. That wraps up your CFRC concert and events calendar for this evening. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.